a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
What is the next event on God's prophetic calendar? Well, welcome and good morning to the Word for Life broadcast. We're broadcasting from the beautiful Brookside Baptist Church on Pilgrim Road in Brookfield, Wisconsin. And let me give you a personal invitation. We would so much love to have you come and to visit us here and maybe even consider becoming a permanent part of our church family. We have excellent Bible studies, Bible preaching, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We have wonderful activities for the young people and the teens and just some wonderful classes for young married couples, for those that are engaged, senior citizens, you name it. We've just have some wonderful, good Christian fellowship, Bible preaching and teaching for every single age group. So consider joining with us, or at least coming and visiting with us right here at Brookside. Well, again, good morning. My name is Richard Schmidt, and my home church is indeed Brookside Baptist Church. I'm also part of what's called Prophecy Focus Ministries, where my wife and I travel around the country, putting on seminars in different churches, conferences, and so forth, specific to the prophetic scriptures, or what God specifically has done, is doing, and will do according to the Bible. And if you're interested in looking at that, you can go to our website at prophecyfocusministries.com and look us up there and see what we're doing, some resources, and then, of course, it tells us how you can get in contact with us, and we'd be happy to come to your church or conference and preach and teach on the prophetic scriptures. Don't care how big you are or how small, we simply will go anywhere if you're interested in learning the prophetic word. Well, over the last several broadcasts, we talked about God's promises to Israel and to the church, or to Christians. And the first four broadcasts, we talked about the various covenants that God made with Israel, unequivocal covenants that will be fulfilled during the millennium, or the thousand-year period of time when Jesus Christ will be ruling physically here on the earth, as found in Revelation chapter 20 and verses 1 to 7. We talked about some very specific things that if we want to properly interpret Scripture that we need to be very cognizant of. Number one, when we interpret Scripture, four things now that we need to do. Number one, we need to look at the historical context. We need to look at the grammatical form. We need to look at it in its contextual form. And then finally, and most importantly, probably, we need to read Scripture literally. The big issue that we have with those who deny Israel's future, with those who deny the Jewish people the land that God has promised to give the people in the Abrahamic, in the land, in the Davidic, and New Covenants, those who deny that do not interpret Scripture literally. They spiritualize and allegorize it, a very, very poor principle when interpreting Scripture. So we strongly recommend that if you're going to interpret Scripture, you don't do it by experience or by spiritualizing or by allegorizing or, quite frankly, making it up as you go along. That's not a good way to read God's Word. Simply read it and interpret it exactly as God wrote it. If he's using symbolism, he'll make it very clear it's symbolism. And in fact, in a book like Revelation, which is called apocalyptic literature, apocalyptic passages, God does use symbolism. But in fact, he explains what those symbols mean. So no need to make things up. No need to change what God wrote. What God wrote, he meant. What God wrote is authoritative. It's accurate, and it doesn't need to be changed. All right, well, let's take a look at a very, very important event we talked about last broadcast, which was called the rapture, or the removal of Christians from the earth. The next major prophetic event on God's prophetic calendar is the removal of the Christians physically, bodily, spiritually, if you will, from this earth. We looked at a passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, where Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, very clearly told the Thessalonians that there's coming a day, which hasn't happened yet, when Jesus Christ will come in the clouds, where the dead that have died in Christ that will be bodily resurrected, and those individuals, those Christians that happen to be, and I'm going to use this term, it's a bad term, but are lucky enough to be alive when that event takes place, they will not die. They'll be immediately translated and taken to heaven. Look at the passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, and that's exactly what it states. But let's be honest, there's another group of Christians, and I strongly believe they're good folks, want to serve God, and are trying to interpret the Bible correctly, but they hold a totally different view when it comes to this concept of the rapture. The issue being that they don't believe, some of the Christians don't believe, and maybe you're one of them listening today, and I simply ask you to listen to what we're going to have to say today, and it might help you at least come to an opinion or a stronger opinion regarding when the rapture or the removal of church-age saints is going to take place. Here's the issue, and it's a major theological issue that you will hear divided opinions about this concept from different pastors, different preachers, different radio preachers, different TV preachers, if you will. And we want to look at the Word of God and find out what it literally states. Here's the issue. When does the rapture take place? Well, God's prophetic calendar is very specific. In fact, the Old Testament is very, very specific on exactly God's prophetic timetable. If you want to look at Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, that calendar is very drawn out and stated as to the events that will take place specifically during the time of Israel and the Jewish people. But there's something that took place, and you might want to write down these two passages. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and in Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29, the Apostle Paul was told via inspiration of the Holy Spirit that there was a mystery time period that God had revealed known as the church age, or the time when literally God halted the prophetic timetable and inserted, if you will, this current church age. Very specifically spelled out in those two passages. Again, Ephesians 3, 1 through 7, Colossians 1, 24 through 29. And here's what happened. If you go to Daniel chapter 9 and you read verse 26 and then read verse 27, verse 27 talks about a seven-year tribulation period, a time when the Antichrist basically will be given power and he'll rule, if you will, on this earth for a seven-year period. At the end of that seven-year period, Jesus Christ will return, his second advent, to set up his millennial kingdom, his 1,000 literal year kingdom, Revelation 21 through 7. So when does a church age, or when do Christians come into being? Well, quite frankly, literally between Daniel 9:26 and Daniel 9:27, there's a gap that takes place. God stopped the prophetic timetable, according to the Ephesians and Colossians passage I gave you, and inserted the current time in which we live. That period has lasted 2,000 years. In other words, it began shortly after the ascension of Christ and has continued on. Now, when is God going to stop the current age and revert back, if you will, and start up Daniel 9:27 or that seven-year tribulation period? Well, here's the rub. Those of us that hold what's called a pre-tribulation rapture or a pre-tribulation removal of Christians, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, see that happening as the next prophetic event. There are others who say, well, no, we think that maybe the church, the Christians, will go maybe through half the tribulation. Maybe they'll go through all the tribulation, and they won't be resurrected until the second coming of Christ. All right, so here we go. I'm going to go through this rather quickly because of time, and if you'd like a copy of this, we'd be happy to get you one. And all you have to do is write Brookside Baptist Church, give us a call, or better yet, come to the church and ask for a copy, and I'll see that you get one. Or you can go to our Prophecy Focus Ministry site and contact us, and we'll get this to you. All right, here's the concepts. There's two different thoughts again. When does the rapture happen? Does it happen before the seven-year period called the tribulation, or does it have to happen after? The Bible's very specific. At the rapture, number one, Jesus will remain in the air of the clouds. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, it says that Jesus returns in the clouds. He does not touch down on the earth. When Jesus' second coming happens, which is 7 years after the rapture, according to our pre-tribulation position, at the second coming, Jesus will come down to the earth and stand literally on the Mount of Olives, as stated in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 4 and 9, and Matthew 25, verses 31 to 32. At the rapture, meaning the next prophetic event, the church will meet Jesus in the air, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. In other words, we believe the scriptures teach, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that Jesus does not touch down to earth at the pre-trib rapture, but he comes in the air. Well, at the second coming, the saints, not the church age saints, but the saints will follow Jesus to the earth, Revelation 19:14. They're not being resurrected. They're literally coming back with him at that time. At the pre-trib rapture, the church will go up to meet Jesus, 1 Thessalonians 4. At the second coming, the saints will come down with Jesus, Revelation 19:14. At the rapture, the church will leave the earth, 1 Thessalonians 4. At the second coming, the saints will come back to the earth. At the rapture, Satan will be very active on earth. In other words, immediately after the rapture, Antichrist comes on the scene, and Satan basically gets his satanic empowerment of the Antichrist and the false prophet going, Revelation 12. At the second coming, Satan will be bound and chained and cast into the bottomless pit, Revelation 20, verses 1 to 3. So you see, just from these few short things so far, we see that this rapture is the next prophetic event. Attempting to run the church into the Old Testament prophetic calendar doesn't work. It doesn't match up. The concepts aren't even close to each other. You see, when the rapture happens, the Christians are removed. They're taken immediately up to heaven. Jesus meets them in the air, as we pointed out from 1 Thessalonians 4:17. At the second coming, where some of our friends believe that's when the rapture takes place, can't happen at that time. Why? Because Jesus is coming down with his saints. He's coming down to judge the earth. He's coming back with his saints, and Satan is bound up at that time. So there's no matchup in what takes place. A couple more. At the rapture, the church will be removed from the earth. At the second coming, the only ones removed from the earth are those that are judged so Jesus can set up his perfect millennial kingdom, Matthew 13, 36 to 43. So many more of these issues. Listen. We're almost out of time. Let me ask you this question. Where are you with your study of doctrine? I gave an awful lot of information in these couple of minutes, which is why we invite you to come to Brookside Baptist Church. In fact, we have a class that takes place at 10:15. We have a 9 o'clock service. I invite you to come at 10:15 to what we call the Bible Explorers class, where we go through these prophetic scriptures. But listen, let me ask you this. Regardless of when the rapture takes place, do you know where you're going when you die? Have you ever thought about that? Say, well, I think I'm going to heaven. I'll tell you what, that's something I wouldn't want to gamble with. I wouldn't want to gamble with knowing when exactly I'm going home to be with the Lord or if I'm going to go home to be with the Lord. Listen very quickly. Listen now. Do you understand that you're a sinner, that you've done wrong? You say, yeah, I know that. Everybody's done wrong. And you're right. Everybody has done wrong. And the Bible tells us that because we sin, if we got what we deserved, every single one of us would burn forever in an awful lake of fire, Revelation 21:8. But God commendeth his love toward us in this and that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And God simply says this, listen, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10, 13. Listen, have you asked Jesus to come into your life? Do you realize you can't earn heaven? Final verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved, God's free, unmerited gift. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, you can't work your way to heaven. You can only get to heaven through trusting what Christ did on the cross. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, what will you do with Jesus today?
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.